Good morning. I'm Kerry Amos, worship pastor here at First West. We're so happy to have you with us joining in our service today. If you'd like to check out more about what's going on here at First West, please check out our website, firstwest.cc. Again, thank you for being with us.
But Christmas is here. We're excited about the season of gift giving. To think that millions of gifts will be given over the next couple of weeks is really incredible. And there are some gifts that far outweigh all the other gifts, right? If you're a child in here, maybe it's the Hatchimal that you want. Now, some of you have no idea. Some parents in here, you've driven all over North Louisiana trying to find one. But there's some gifts that just mean so much. For some of you, maybe it's an engagement ring this year. Maybe for some of you, it's you're ready this Christmas to hear you're going to be a grandparent, right? That's all you need. If you just finally could be a grandparent, you'll take it. I would suggest that there's one gift that really far outweighs all of them, and really it gives throughout the whole year. It's called online shopping. Amen. That's right. Isn't that a great gift to know that this year you can just do all your Christmas shopping sitting there on your couch in your pajamas? How many of you in here, you still have some Christmas shopping to get done? It's a shame you don't love your family and friends. I'm just kidding. Yeah, if you think about it, for those of you that raise your hand, you could actually finish your Christmas shopping while I'm up here talking to you. Now, God's watching you, so you better not. But you could. I mean, technically, you could just wrap it all up by the time you walk out of this room. But it really is amazing. For those of you that maybe this is your first year that you've actually bought a gift for someone online, I just want to give you a heads up on what you're going to get to experience. You're going to give that gift, and they're going to open it, and they're going to look at you, and tears starting to come down their face, and they're going to say, "You shouldn't have." And in that moment, because you've bought something for them online, you're going to look at them and you're going to grin. And in your mind, here's what you're going to think. I know I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have paused that Hallmark movie and looked down at my phone and pulled up and ordered right there. Or I shouldn't have, you know, after sitting on the deer stand for 3 hours, not seeing a single animal walk by my stand, I shouldn't have searched Google for best Christmas gift for my wife and then quickly transitioned over to Amazon. And I shouldn't have done that. I know. It was too much. But for some of you, you'll think, man, I really shouldn't have skipped, you know, having an amateur such as me wrap this gift. I shouldn't have had Amazon go ahead and do that for $8 so I could have it delivered right to my doorstep already. I shouldn't have done that for you, right? Whether you're going to be doing your shopping that way this year, or whether you're going to be making something with your own hands, or maybe it's something that's not even tangible that you're going to be giving this year, it is that season for giving gifts. And we've been, over the last couple of weeks, talking about the fact that Christmas is coming. It is coming, and we've talked about with the first Christmas, with the coming of the Christ child, with the coming of God wrapped in flesh, was the coming of true peace. It was the coming of true joy, and last week we talked about it was the coming of faith. Faith to know that even when we're faithless, God is faithful. And today I want us to continue with that understanding of Christmas coming to see when Christmas finally came. Today I'm going to be discussing with you, talking about the fact that here comes life. And if I could sum up my time with you today, it would be this. That the coming of Jesus, while humble in nature, was God's perfect plan to seek and to save the lost. The coming of Jesus, while humble in nature, was God's perfect plan to seek and to save the lost. If you have your Bible, you can go to Luke chapter 2. If you have the app, you can follow along there with my notes today. But Luke chapter 2, I want us to see again today with fresh eyes when Christmas finally came. Beginning in verse 1, it says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his hometown. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Christmas had finally come. It was here, and there are several things that I want us to see from this familiar passage about what it meant that with the coming of Christmas meant the coming of life. The first one is this, as I want you to see, is that Christmas comes at the perfect time. Christmas comes at the perfect time. I mean, don't you agree that Christmas, the Christmas season, is such a respite for your soul? There's something about this season, the carols, the time together with family. It really is. And so what we see here is that Christmas came at the perfect time. If you look at the beginning of verse 1, it says this, in those days. I believe there's some anticipation that wells up inside of you when you see that. In those days, there was something that was happening. Well, what was happening? Well, we see that in those days is referring actually to the birth of John the Baptist. If you're maybe not as familiar with the Bible, you may not know that God had actually said that before the Messiah comes, before Jesus comes, there will be one who will prepare the way for Jesus. And his name was John the Baptist. And so we see in Luke chapter 1 that John the Baptist had been born. That meant the one that was to prepare the way of the Messiah was here. And now he says, Luke records here, in those days. It tells us this. This is what it communicates to you today. That God's perfect plan was beginning to unfold. It was unfolding just the way he had planned it. This wasn't a God who was sitting on a throne and is shooting from the hip of, okay, we have a problem here. How am I going to intercede for all of humanity that has sinned against me? No, this is God in his perfect plan allowing it to unfold. And notice what it doesn't say here in verse 1. Luke doesn't record the coming of Christmas this way. Once upon a time. You see, there are lots of Christmas stories that start with once upon a time, and they tell a neat story about a neat family who maybe overcame hardships, and at the end, the family reconciled. But this is not a once upon a time story. This is a in those days story. Because you see, when God came to rescue mankind, when he came to seek and to save the lost, he came and entered into our world. Not into some fairy tale. Not into some made-up world, but he entered into our world at the perfect time. In fact, we see it from verse 1 as it tells us that in those days, in the days that John the Baptist was born, a decree went out from who? From Caesar Augustus. This is pointing here to a real person in history. Did you know this? That there has never been an archaeological find that has ever disproved the Bible. Never. Never. God entered into this world, and this world has yet to disprove it by anything that they found. And even in this recording of Christmas coming, the recording of real people from history, it shows us that Christmas came at the perfect time. Caesar Augustus here was known by Octavian as historians. And God, once again, just as he did with kings like Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, he is using pagan kings to accomplish his purposes of this unfolding of his plan of redemption. It says here in verse 6, it gives even, I think, even a clear picture of the timing of this. It says, and while they were there, speaking of them being in the city of David, the time came for her to give birth. The time came for her to give birth. You know, I think tradition and many times maybe movies have given us this image that when Jesus was being born, that for Mary and Joseph, they were in this big rush. They were hurrying to get to Bethlehem so that they could have the baby. But that's not what we see here. We see that they're already in the town. And so it's not this picture of Mary sitting on a donkey and Joseph trying to pull the donkey and the donkey not going. And Mary saying, Joseph, you better get me there now. And he's like, I'm sorry, there's a donkey in the way. What do you expect me to do? Just go around the donkey? I'm not going to do it. She's like, I don't care. If you want to live to see this baby, go around the donkey, right? Some of you may have had an experience like that. That's not what we see here. It's God's perfect timing with the coming of Christmas. You know who loves the timing of Christmas? Teachers. School teachers. Can I get an amen, school teachers? Yeah. You know, when I was a student, I used to think that I was the one that was looking forward to Christmas. And as I got older and I met school teachers, I thought, no, they love Christmas, right? It means a break. And even if it's been a great semester with them, with great students, and they've accomplished all that they wanted to accomplish, or it's been the worst semester of their career, they always look forward to Christmas. Can I tell you, with the coming of Christmas and understanding that Christmas came at the perfect time, I think for each of us in here, we can recognize that the story of Christmas hits us at the perfect time as well. Because whether you're in this room today or you're watching online or by TV, if you're here and you're hearing this message again, for some of you, it's the perfect time because 2016 has been a tough year. 2016 has not brought you to Christmas full of joy and happiness. It's brought you to Christmas full of chaos and frustration. And maybe 2016 is just compounded on what 2015 had to offer in 2014 and 2013. And as you look at the pattern in your life, you'd say, Michael, now more than ever, I need something or someone to step into my life and to rescue me. Christmas came at the perfect time. And maybe for you, you're like that school teacher who's had a great year. In fact, you look at 2016, you'd say, you know what? Things have gone great. Employment has gone well for me. Things are going good with my family. Everything seems well. But yet somewhere in your heart, you sense something is missing. Christmas came at the perfect time. You see, in the midst of this world, God stepped into it. And even today, as you sit here and you look at your year and you think, man, things seem to go really well. But yet in your heart, you see something that's missing and you hear a message that God entered in. And when you hear that God entered into this world, it stirs inside of you to say, you know what? There must be something more than just having a great 2016. Christmas came at the perfect time. And not only did Christmas come at the perfect time, Christmas came to the perfect place. It came to the perfect place. You know, there are all sorts of places that mothers have given birth to children. Mothers don't always get to pick where they give birth. Some of you that are in here are listening. You may have a unique story in and of itself that you weren't sitting in a nice air-conditioned hospital room with doctors and nurses all around. Several years ago, there was an article written that talked about the top 10 places, unique places, that a woman had given birth to a baby. And some of them were maybe some of the stories that you've heard, stories like McDonald's, or the library, or one was actually a lady driving herself to the hospital gave birth. One of them that I thought was unique was a lady gave birth on a plane flight from Manila to San Francisco and actually named the baby Francis. Can you imagine that plane flight, right? I wouldn't know if to be cheering or crying, right? Just what's happening, right? But number one on the list, and when you hear it, you'll agree that it should have been number one. It spoke of this lady in Africa. She was in her community, and it was the time of the year the floods came, and it flooded their community. And as people in the community were looking for relief anywhere they could find it, she decided, as a pregnant woman, the best idea was to go up a tree. And as she went up that tree in that moment with floodwaters ravaging below her, she gave birth to a baby girl. The baby's name was not Zacchaeus, but she did give birth to that baby in a tree. That was bad, wasn't it? Let's be honest, that was bad. All right, but she gives birth to this baby in a tree, and soon after, here comes a helicopter with a rescue basket, and they take this baby, and they take this mom, and they it's incredible. You know, I was thinking as I was reading that article and thinking about Christmas, I know it's not possible, but wouldn't it have been crazy if Jesus was born in a McDonald's? I mean, how weird would it be that all in our homes with our nativity scenes, there was just a little McDonald's, right? With the shepherd and the wise men and the sheep and the camels, right? That would be interesting. But we know that Jesus wasn't born in a McDonald's or even in a tree, but he definitely wasn't born where I think most people would expect God coming in the form of flesh would be born. If you look in verse 4, it tells us that Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, you may not understand how significant that is, that they were going to the city of David. David was someone that we see from the Old Testament. And when we look at the story of David, we see that David was someone who came from humble beginnings to rule over the people of Israel. In fact, in Psalm 78, it says this, that he, speaking of God, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following nursing ewes, to shepherd his people. Jacob, Israel, his inheritance. So God took this boy, David, and he used him to lead his people, Israel. In fact, David's leadership as he was leading the people of Israel, God told him in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, he said this, David, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. So God tells this king, David, tells him that your throne will be established forever. But I want you to think about this morning. As we find ourselves today in Luke chapter 2 in the Christmas story, this is about 1,000 years after God told David that his throne will be established forever. It's this picture here of the people of Israel leading great things for the people of God. But yet 1,000 years later, here we see that that doesn't seem to be the case. How do we know that? Because Mary and Joseph are taking a journey to the city of David, not on their own accord, but because there is a foreign ruler, a Roman emperor that has decreed the census to take place. God's people are not following the leadership of a king in the line of David because his throne shall reign forever. Their lives are being controlled by a Roman emperor miles away. But yet in the midst of that, here comes Christmas. It tells us that in this, they're going up to the city of David. And if you were a Jew here today and you were hearing this story for the first time, with your understanding of God's working with his people, the Jews, you would believe, you would see this. When it tells us that they were going up to the city of David, right away your first thought would be Jerusalem. First of all, because that idea of going up, many times when people would make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, God's holy city, when they would make their way, they literally would have to go up. It would be an ascent for them to go up to Jerusalem. So in the language that Luke uses here of going up, it gives this idea of here we go again back to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph, and they're going to the city of David, which Jerusalem was referred to in the Old Testament. And if you think about it, if God is coming in the form of a baby, if God is going to enter into this world, does it make perfect sense to go to Jerusalem? It's where the temple is at. It's where the influencers of Jerusalem live. It makes perfect sense, but that's not what we see. We see that Luke, as he records this, we see a twist as he records it, that they're going up to the city of David, but not the city of David, Jerusalem, but to the city of David's birth, Bethlehem. He's going to Bethlehem. Why is this significant that this baby Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? Why do we say that Jesus or that Christmas comes at the perfect place? Well, it's because we see from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That God said 750 years before Luke 2 ever took place, God said, the one that is coming, the Messiah, the promised deliverer, will come from Bethlehem. Listen to what it says. It says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. You see, God was being faithful to the word that he had prophesied through Micah, that this one who was to come would be born in Bethlehem. It tells us something about the nature of who this God is, that this God was true to his word. So this baby that was coming for the city of David was not just a new David. Hear me today, he was the better David. Where David was one who came from humble beginnings to lead his people, this king was coming to rescue his people for all time. Where David trusted God and defeated a great giant, this king that was coming as God would defeat sin for all time. Where David gave hope for God's people for a better tomorrow, this coming king would secure an eternal tomorrow for his people. You see, Christmas came in the perfect place because it showed us that God's plan was perfectly unfolding. And not only that, it shows us that Christmas came in the perfect place because, as one pastor said, the most uncommon event in history came to the most common of people. Sure, it would have made sense for this baby to be born in Jerusalem with all the influencers there in that great city. But yet God chooses to send his son, this baby, to Bethlehem, a common town, nothing to speak of. And those that would be there that day, the first ones on the scene to experience it, would be the lowly shepherds. This baby had not just come for the up and in, he had come for the down and out, the social outcast. And can I tell you, for me today, how much that blesses my heart? To know that when God entered into this world, when he sent his son Jesus, it wasn't just to come to all the people with influence and power, but it was a picture of coming for every man, for every woman, for every boy, and for every child. The coming of Christmas was for all of us. The most uncommon event had been seen for the most common of people. So Christmas comes not only in the perfect time and the perfect place, but finally I want you to see that it came in the perfect way. It came in the perfect way. We see in the story, we know the story, that this baby is born in Bethlehem, and as it's born, it says that the baby was placed in a feed trough. Right now, we know the story, so it maybe skews the way that we think of this, but if you're hearing this for the first time, this makes absolutely no sense. Why would God send his son? Why would God come in the flesh to be born and placed in a feed trough? You see, it's the picture of humility. It's the picture of a coming king that is coming not to set up a government to rule the earth, but a king that is coming to accomplish something far more important. In fact, Jesus said as he would get older, he made it very clear to you and to me, as it's recording in God's word, that Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. It's what his life was about. not to come and to establish some great government, to come and to seek and to save the lost. And so in this picture of him coming in humility, being born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, we see the humility of a baby who had become a man who was on a mission. In fact, we see, as Paul records in Philippians chapter 2, this picture of humility and what Christ was doing. Beginning in verse 6, it says, speaking of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the very form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Christmas came in the perfect way because it is this picture of humility, this picture of Jesus emptying himself and coming in the form of a baby. And then, hear this, if you haven't heard anything I've said today, hear this. Paul says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to death on a cross. You see, Christmas came in the perfect way because this baby was coming with a mission. And that mission was to seek and to save the lost. And as Paul records here, the way that he did that was by humbling himself to death, even death on the cross. You may have heard this before, but Christmas doesn't mean anything without Easter. As precious as this baby is, born of a virgin, that's not enough. The Bible says that every single one of us, there's things in our life called sin. That sin is things that we've done that separate us from God. They go against what God has desired. And in that separation from God, it leaves us with a place where we really have no hope. But the Bible says that because God loves you, that he sent his son to be born of a baby. And not just to stay there in a manger, but to grow and to live a perfect, sinless life. And one day, as Paul records here, to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. So a baby that was laid in a wooden manger would one day lay on a wooden cross. A baby that was one day wrapped in swaddling clothes would one day, after suffering a vicious death for your sin and my sin, would be wrapped in a bloody linen shroud. You see, this baby came with a mission to seek and to save the lost. And it is in his birth, in his perfect life, in his death, in which he paid the punishment for my sin and for yours, and his victory over sin in the grave, and 3 days later, rising from the dead, what it does is it tells us that Christmas has come. And the greatest gift that's ever been given, you can look to and you can know it has been given to you. That gift is what Jesus did for you on the cross. And the Bible says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. You can know that you can be reconciled back to this God who loves you and gave himself for you. Last week, I had the opportunity to go to New Orleans to cheer on our local teams that were participating in the state championship. And Saturday, I went to the Neville game for a little while our younger boys were taking a nap. And so I had to actually go back to the hotel to get them to come to the later game. And so I hopped into a cab to go back to the hotel. And as I did, I got into the cab with this man by the name of Finial. And I began to talk with Finial, and I began to share with him actually a little bit of what I'm sharing with you today, just about what Jesus means and what he's meant to my life. And in the midst of that conversation, as I was talking with Finial, I began to learn about Finial's story. Finial was born and raised in Haiti, and 15 years ago came to America to try to provide for his family back in Haiti. He spent the first 7 years in New York City, and then 8 years ago made his way to New Orleans. And as we drove back to the hotel, as Finial was sharing his story with me, he shared with me about the hardships that his family's faced in Haiti, with the earthquake that happened years ago and how the effect that that had on his family. And then even with the hurricane that came through Haiti recently. And so he was telling me about how what he does with his life, everything he's doing to help his family back in Haiti. And as we continue this conversation, driving there down Poydras Street with all the glamour of Poydras Street, the lights and the laughter and the joy, people shopping, all the entertainment around, to continue the conversation with Finial, I asked him, I said, Finial, tell me, what do you do for a hobby? What do you like to do for fun? And can I tell you that in that moment as we drove down Poydras Street, that what Finial said to me, it pierced my heart. As he was driving, he just kind of peered back over his right shoulder, and in that Haitian accent, he said to me, he said, sir, There's no time for hobbies when the need is so great. You see, for Finial, the need that his family finds himself, it stirs in him to do all that he can to help provide. And when I think about the fact of Christmas coming at the perfect time and in the perfect place in the perfect way, it reminds me that in my moment, that in my sin, the need was great. And for God, I'm thankful that for him, it was not a time of finding a hobby just to enjoy himself, but understanding how great the need was that God sent forth his son to make a way for me and to make a way for you. So as we go into this Christmas season, as we think about the coming of Christmas, I ask you, what makes Christmas so special this year? What makes Christmas so special? Sure, we can talk about putting up the tree. Sure, we can talk about the gifts that are going to be given. We can talk about the carols that are going to be sung. But I think when we get to the heart of it, what makes Christmas so special? In your heart, you know that Christmas is special because Christmas came at the perfect time. That God entered into this world. His plan was unfolding. What makes Christmas so special is that Christmas came to the perfect place. The deliverer, the Savior came, not to a place of great influence, but to a place of people. People just like you and me. What makes Christmas so great? It's that Christmas came in the perfect way. A baby not come to set up a rule here on this earth, but to accomplish on this earth what the people of this earth could not accomplish for themselves. To make a way for you and to make a way for me. Would you bow your heads with me today? And in this moment, I just want to give you a moment to respond to the message that you've heard. For some of you in here, Christmas and the Christmas message has come at the perfect time. Whether it's been a great year for you or a difficult year for you, today in your heart, you can feel it that now's the moment.
Thanks so much for being with us today. My name is Michael Wood. I'm the lead pastor at First West. We're a church in two locations, in West Monroe, Louisiana, and in Sterlington, Louisiana. It's the heartbeat of our church to see people changed by the gospel and living out their Christ-centered purpose. If there's any way that we can pray for you or serve you, would you please contact us? You can get more information about our church at firstwest.cc. Thank you.